Okay. Okay, let us begin. I just want to clarify two things which we mentioned last week that people asked me questions about. So we'll talk about those two in Yonim for a moment, and then we'll go further. When I mentioned last week the halacha of a moich dochuk, that when the isha makes a hefsek tyra before she begins her shivas nekiyim, the halacha is that a moich dochuk has to be used from shkia till tseis. And that moich dochuk often is only a minhug. When is it a minhug and when is it min hadin? If an isha only saw for one day, she had a riyah for one day, she saw dam, she saw blood for one day, that evening she is eligible for the beginning of the seven clean days. However, then a moich dochuk is min hadin. Now you can ask me, if she saw one day, how could she possibly begin the shivas nakiyim so quickly? Isn't there halacha that you have to wait 5 days? The answer to that is that you don't have to wait 5 days if you saw dam during the seven clean days. When do you wait 5 days? If a woman sees dam, and before she saw dam, she was muteris to her husband, then you have to wait 5 clean days. Then you have to wait 5 days, rather, and then you have the 7 clean days. But if a woman sees dam, and the time she is prohibited to her husband, let's say she was counting the Shivas Nekiyim, then the halacha is she could start the 7 clean days after she stops seeing the dam, right? Okay. That's what we explained last week. But if she wants to begin the Shivas Nekiyim that day which she saw dam, then a moich dochuk is min hadin. And some hold, even though she saw a few days before, but if on the day of the hefsek tyra she actually saw dam more than staining, then also a moich dochuk is necessary, min hadin. So the truth of the matter is, for an isha not to have a moich dochuk because it's difficult, there's an irritation, whatever the case may be, there are times you can dispense with it, but you really have to ask a shayla whether the moich dochuk is a minig or the moich dochuk is min hadin. That was one area that people asked me following last year. The other area, just to raise the point that is a shayla that should be asked, was the shayla, when is dam d'oraisa and when is dam d'rabbanan? If dam is found, as we call it in Hilchus Nida, a stain, it's d'rabbanan. If it is on an eid bedika, which means the cloth that the woman uses to check herself, then it can be d'oraisa. If it is on a piece of paper following the Beis Akisei, the bathroom, then you have to ask a shayla. It's not always the Raisa. It's not always the Rabbanan. Sometimes it is neither. Sometimes it is mutter. But I'm just saying those dinim are complex. That's when you should ask a shayla. The Rav will ask various questions, the color, the time lapse, the size. But those are shaylas that should be asked to a Rav. So last week we finished the description, introduction of Hilchus Nida, the Shivas Nekiyim, the 5 days, when it's the Raisa, when it's the Rabbanan. Tonight at Mirz Hashem, I would like to cover the Harchokais, which means how one has to act towards his wife and his wife towards him when she is not Tahar. When I say she's not Tahar, it could be one of two scenarios. It could be when she saw Dam, it could be during her 7 clean days. And it could be any time before she went to the mikveh. It doesn't mean she has to actually see dam in order to be a nida that her husband has certain halachas, how he has to conduct himself towards her. And hopefully we must get to the halachas of vestis, which are really probably the most complicated halachas of Hilchus Nida. There's a lot of confusion. So let's just go through the halachas quickly. They're not really complicated, but they're detailed, and obviously they affect day-to-day life. As I mentioned last week, and I'm sure everyone knows this, there's no Isser Yichud with someone's wife who is a Nida. If there would be, we'd be in pretty big trouble. We'd always have to move out of the house. But there's no Isser Yichud. Isser Yichud really is only towards a wife before the husband lived with her one time. The chos and kala get married, and the woman is a Nida under the chuppah, and achinami, they must be separated they must be in different houses until she goes to the mikveh. But normally there's no iser yichud. Now, the way a woman should dress herself in her home when she's a nida, Ramosha writes, is the way she walks around when she's not a nida, providing certain standards are kept, but she doesn't have to have the standard of dress like in the street, because it's only with her husband who is ruggle with her, and therefore, I'll just give you an example, which is let's say a woman in the street, you go into society, everyone wears shoes. But in the house, you don't. There's no need to wear shoes. Ramosha even says, concerning the hair, if in the house she doesn't cover her hair, there's no din that during Yemei Nidusa she has to cover her. It has to be a different type of dress, and she can't get dressed in front of her husband, but the standard of dress is not the way she walks in the street. It's the way she'd walk in the house when she is not a Nida. Now, I mentioned last week, the custom is, and Ramosha supports this, a woman does not listen to his wife. A woman. A man does not listen to his wife sing when she is in need. And the Pesachei Teshuvah has a discussion about that, and that's how Ramosha writes in his Sefer, one should conduct himself. To smell her perfume when it is on her, also it is inappropriate to do when she is in need. It goes without saying, you do not touch her, and you do not touch her even if there is a garment between your hand and her body. Now, the din that, at least for newlyweds, sometimes seems somewhat imposing because they're very conscious of it when they're in public, which I can understand, we don't pass things to our wives when they are nidais. You don't pass things. The shmira that Chazal b'chochmasim thought should be put up to prevent any type of iser transpiring. Children that could walk, so I told you, some people hold the child goes to the other parent, is fine. Some people even allow, some paiskim even allow actual passing. But what? Kvater by a bris is interesting, Shiloh. The minhag ha'olam is not to allow it. Hagayin Ramosha allows it. And one of his reasons is because it's tzarich mitzvah. And I think he wants possibly two pillows, meaning one pillow and a pillow where the baby is on. And Ramesh is the only one I saw quoted that allows it. Usually, when a person wants to invite a couple to be kvater, he asks, can you be kvater? And if they say no, usually they understand. But I saw quoted that Ramesh allowed it. Interestingly. You could give something to a child's hand when your wife is holding it, holding the child. But you can't place something in your wife's pocket or pocketbook when she is holding the pocketbook. You cannot even throw something to her. You can't even throw something to your wife. You can't have frivolous behavior. Can't play ping pong, handball with your wife when she is a nida. Some say, and maybe you have to use this at times of need, if you throw it up, it comes down. That's not throwing to her. If you ever walk outside, you see somebody throw something up and his wife catches it, it may be a way to circumvent the halacha of giving something to her. Yes?
So you're saying from ping pong and you can't play tennis either?
It's better not to, right. You know, better not to. I'm not saying...
No basketball.
No football, no tackle, but the truth of the matter is a whole year. The truth of the matter is it's better not. I'm not saying there's no I say it, and I say it again, whether it talks, when I talk about an aid bedika or I talk about a garment, if someone has an issue that is important to them, he should really ask a shayla. Not everything is black and white. Most things in halacha, especially in Hilchos Nidah, is not black and white. I'm telling you common practice. But if a person, let's say for some reason, says to himself, we're away for 3 days, and if I don't get this tennis game in, I've had it for the year, he should ask a shayla. Okay? Because these halachas are not clear and cut. You have to be dama milsa la milsa. But generally speaking, the answer is no. If something is on the spouse's shoulder, and you would like to remove it by blowing it. You should not do that. If the spouse is holding a fire and you'd like to warm yourself with the fire, you should not warm yourself through the fire, even though you could read something that is in your spouse's hand. Havdalah you could do. Havdalah you can. Warming you can't, but Havdalah you can.
Can you hold out the psalm?
What?
The
psalm, I think it says, if I'm not mistaken, I think it says you can. I don't remember 100%, but I think it says the psalm you can, okay? Now, let's go a little bit further. These are the halachas, you know, common sense, Chazal's ideas that there should be certain shmiras instituted to prevent an aveir from transpiring. A lot of these shmiras were instituted by achila, by eating. Because I guess when you're at the table and you're eating, that's when shmiras are important. When you eat on the table together, there is halacha, when the wife is not a tahira, you have to have a shinui. A shinui is defined by something different on the table. Let's say something like this. Now, some like it a little bit tall. You know, what can I tell you? They don't like keys, but I saw Rav Vosner writes, the minhag olam to be mekel, even when something is below a tefach. But something should be different on the table. If you usually use table mats, if one doesn't use a table mat, that's also fine. If you put something on a table which normally doesn't go on the table, that's also fine. Some say even if you switch around the seating arrangements, that's also fine. The idea is to do something that creates a hecker that the Isha and the men are separated at this time of the calendar. We'll speak about that. Let's say you are a guest in another person's house. Most of the olam is mekel, and the halacha doesn't require one to put a shini on a table. I know people would feel kind of odd. Oh, it's so nice of you to invite me here. Do you mind if I put my glasses on the table? Now, it's an interesting thing. I could tell you from my own experience and from what I see in the Svarim. There was one time that it wasn't embarrassing to indicate that a woman was an Ida. The Gemara says they wore different clothes. And it was necessary because she had tyrus. Imagine a Kohen is eating truma. He had to know who could touch the truma. If someone is Tmeya, a Nida can't touch the truma. And I saw when I was a child, someone would ask Rav Moshe a Shaila in the middle of a chasana. I was amazed. In the middle of a chasana. And, you know, this is, I guess, just a subject to culture, subject to a person's feelings. Today, understandably, people are very concerned about not being embarrassed. So definitely at someone else's house, one can be mekel. What about in your own house, older children? Even though most paiskim don't seem to agree with the heter in your own house with older children, but there are those who are mekel. And I think most of the olam is mekel. So I'm not telling you that is the majority opinion. On the contrary, I think the majority opinion is that even in your own house with older children, you need a hecker. But I do say the minhag olam is to be mekel, and if someone follows the minhag olam, surely he is going back. He is going down the correct path.
If you have company,
yeah,
yes,
same thing like older children. Why should company be any different? Kolshke and bekolshke. So therefore, if you're alone, even though you're not eating a suda, but you're just munching, you're just snacking, you have to have a hecker on the table. The hecker should be between the husband and the wife. But if there are other people at the table, even at your own home, the Birka Yosef says it's mutter, and I think that is the minig ha'olam. But that's the halacha of shulchan echad. Let's say you're eating with your wife alone. You have no hecker. If you pick up the table and you eat directly on the table, your wife eats on the tablecloth. Anything that's a difference in the way you're eating could be considered a hecker, and it is mutter. Now, the other isser, after we pass the isser of eating on Shulchan Echad, is the isser of eating from one plate. It's not so common to eat to one plate, but it would seem from the Svarim that at one time, you know, wash two plates. It was an undertaking. Maybe people didn't have so many plates. A person would eat with one plate with his wife. That he cannot do.
And munchies.
We'll get to that. I'm not sure what munchies are, but whatever they are.
Okay,
let's get. Now, what does it mean eating from one plate? Let's say you have on one plate different pieces of meat. So you take one, your wife takes one, you're eating simultaneously. It doesn't mean the hands converge at the same moment. You're eating from one plate, you take one, your wife takes one. That is usur to do such a type achila. However, Reb Moshe writes, not everyone agrees, that if it's something that other than a man and his wife would partake from that plate, maybe popcorn, I think you go to houses, people just take popcorn, even strangers, so then he felt it wasn't prohibited. Reb Moshe, I don't know if he discusses this, Shiloh, if there are other people taking from the plate, let's say children, some say it is permitted, some say it is prohibited. The Bazei HaShulchan brings down, that's from the Five O Cone, if I remember correctly, it's even prohibited, but some are mater. So the idea of eating one plate is that a husband and wife surely should not share a plate if it's the Derech HaOlam not to have one plate, and the only reason why you're sharing it is because it's your wife. That is usur. That is the halach of Kai Ra'achas, the din of Shulchan Echad, and then there's the din of Kai Ra'achas. Another halacha we have, shiuri kaisa, the leftover over cup. If she takes a drink, you cannot drink the leftover mashka in her cup. Now, if someone else drank after she drank, you could drink from it. If you don't know it's her leftovers, you could also drink from it, because it's not, as we'd say, a chaticha de sura. It's not something that's intrinsically prohibited. It's prohibited because of the perception that the husband knows it's his wife's leftovers, and therefore it may come to chiba, endearment, and it may come to an aveira. So therefore Chazal said, if you know it's your wife's leftover in the cup, you cannot drink. But if someone else drank, then you can drink. If the wife left the room and she's not present, you could also drink the leftover in the cup. So that's the din of shiurei kaisa.
What if you have like a bottle of Coke in the car, you want to share a bottle of Coke?
You shouldn't. You should not. It's Shiurei Meichel. That is Shiurei Kaisa. Now there's a din of Shiurei Meichel, yeah.
Even if you put it in two, if she put it in two separate cups.
No. I should have mentioned, I don't think I did. When I say you can't drink from your wife's leftover, that's only from the cup she drank from. If you poured it to your own cup, surely you can. Surely you can. If she drinks from a cup and you want to finish the leftover from her cup, it is usur. If someone else takes a drink from her cup, you can take a drink from her cup. But if she takes a drink from her cup, you can't take a drink from her cup, but you could pour it into your cup and drink from your cup. Yes?
This is not a bottle of Coke.
Right.
Well, a can of Coke. You pour it half a cup.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you can. There is a tshuva for Reb Moshe who questions whether if there's a portion that is uniquely for one person, whether you could divide it. That's a chiddush of Reb Moshe. I don't know if the Olam follows that. And also, maybe you could argue a can of cup is not always for one person. You know, maybe a small roll is for one person. I'm not sure of it. You know, people like a can of Coke. They won't be satisfied with one. Don't want two. But, you know, I don't know if you can extend it even to a can of Coke. Yeah. No. A leftover of the husband, if he drinks, the wife can drink. The shiurei kaisa is only the leftover from the wife's food. The leftover from the husband's food doesn't have a din of shiurei kaisa. Now there's a din of shiurei meichel. Her leftover food. What? I think the rationale is that probably the nature of man is maybe to be aroused, and the endearment could lead to his initiative when he feels like he's drinking something and intimate with his wife, than the wife more than the man. In halacha we find, and I think we probably find from our own perception, usually we're more afraid that the man will initiate and cause an aveir. By yichud we also find it that way. A man can't be miyachud with a woman. If the door is locked from the woman's side, the man can't get in, it's mutter. If it's locked from the man's side, that the man can open and get to the woman, it's usur. That's halach and yichud. And I think the same thing applies here. Chazal are more worried about the man, that he should send some closeness, some endearment. Maybe he will initiate an aveira. But the woman's perception or the woman's feeling doesn't give us a fear that she'll initiate the aveira.
but once the wife drinks from the husband's cup, it becomes her cup.
Right? So then, right? 100%. If you take a drink and then you're generous to give it to your wife, don't ask for it back. Because once the wife drinks, it becomes her cup. Once it becomes her cup, you know, someone asked a question. It says that the wife is not in, you could drink the leftover cup. So let's say the wife poured into her cup a nice glass of cold Pepsi. She took a drink. She walks out of the room. The husband starts drinking. And then the wife comes back. Does he have to stop drinking? So some argue, just like if a different person would drink in the middle between the wife and the husband, it's not called her leftovers anymore. So the fact that the husband started to drink from it, so his continuation is also not considered her leftovers anymore because it becomes his cup since he drank from it, the heter. Now, what is shiuri maichola? If she's eating, you cannot eat the leftover of her food. However, the paiskim say that's only if it's considered one maichol. For instance, let's say she has three potatoes, four potatoes, or small potatoes they serve at chasnas on her table. She eats one, she eats two. She doesn't want to eat the third or fourth. You could eat it. It's not considered shiuri maichola. Shiuri maichola is only if she actually takes from that piece. If for some reason, or not some reason, they serve sliced meat, five pieces of sliced meat, she eats two, you could take the other three. Shiuri maichola is only if she actually ate on her plate from that particular piece, then you cannot take the leftovers. And all the halachas of shiuri kais apply to shiuri maichola. Let's say she had a piece of chicken, she took a slice from it, you can't eat the rest of the chicken. The son comes over and says, Mom, do you mind if I take a slice from your chicken? She says, be my guest. Then the husband can finish it off. If you take the chicken that she took a slice from and put it into your plate, that's also mutter. Why? Because it's not shiuri maichola, because it is not on her plate anymore. There's no din of shiuri maichola of the husband, but there's dinim of shiuri maichol of the woman, as we said, by shiuri kais. Yeah. Right, right. Now, I have to tell you, Yoni, out of truth of full disclosure, Ramesha, Zechariah Levracha, does not agree to that halacha, and he feels that since something solid doesn't really use the plate, it's not perceived as being in a different place. Liquid, yes, solid, not. The minig ha'olam, as far as I know, is to be makel. You know, it's a milsa d'rabbanan. All the paiskim seem to be makel. But what you described is exactly what I said. Let's say you don't know it's the leftover of your wife's. You go, you know, your wife leaves and the plate is near your son, not near your wife. Then you can eat it. Why? Because even though your wife pushed it over to your son, so it'll look like it's his leftovers, there's nothing wrong in deceiving the husband, because the issur is in perception, and if he does not perceive it belongs to his wife, then it happens to be totally mutter. Yeah, it's something you could do l'chatchila, right? You could say, son, yeah, take a drink from mom's cup. You know, you're going to have to explain why, but if he's young enough, he won't ask questions, so he'll be fine. Okay, now, yeah. He can't drink. Yeah, but once she drinks, it's nikral shem ha'achrin.
Unless somebody else wants to.
Right, right. That's why if he drinks from the wine, if she drinks from a cup of wine, she gives it to someone, he could drink it, because it's the last person's kais. Likewise, also, if he drank, she drank, then it's also for him, unless she gives it to someone else.
He knows that she's not going to drink it all up. Normally, he would go pour off a little bit into a cup and give it separately. Pouring in front of her is also a problem
today, isn't it? Yeah, him pouring in front of her is not a problem. Her pouring in front, wine in particular. Right, because that's like sending her wine, right. Other beverages, not. Till now, we made no difference between wine and other beverages. But wine we'll talk about. But cups of soda, there's no problem for him to do it directly in front of her. Wine we'll talk about in Mitzvah in a second. Now, that's the din of leftover food, which is the same din as leftover beverages. Now, if it's something on the table that is not for one person, it's not considered leftovers. Let's say, for instance, there's a large challah. the wife takes a slice. There's no halacha that the husband can't eat the rest of it, because the din of shiurei meichel is only something that is meant for one person, or it can be a one-person portion. But if it's not a one-person portion, there's no halacha of shiurei meichel. So if she takes a slice of challah, and the challah is not for one person, there's no iser on the husband to partake from that challah. Now, there's a particular iser, as I mentioned, to pour wine in front of the husband, or to send wine to the wife, or for the wife to send wine to the husband. Because wine has a certain connotation to it. Wine is something that intoxicates. So therefore, when the husband makes kiddush, he cannot say, could you send this cup of wine to my wife? Because he's sending wine to his wife, which is usher. So what you do is you pour and you put it down. She takes it herself. If you pass around a few cups of wine and the wife will take one wine, fine, because you didn't send any particular cup to your wife. That's fine. So if you have five people at the table, you pour into five small cups, you say pass it around. Even though one of the people at the table is your wife, it doesn't matter. You didn't send a particular cup to your wife. But there's an iser to send a cup of wine to your wife. Now, the halacha is when a woman serves a husband, she shouldn't place the food down in front of him in a normal fashion, but rather she should do it b'shinui. If she's a righty, with the left hand, maybe not directly in front of her, in front of him, a little bit to the side. That's a shinui which is necessary when she serves the food. It can be very unnoticeable, right, left hand, no one notices which hand it's being served. Presumably the husband notices, because that's the point of having the shinui. But the shinui is done that it should be served in a different way, whether the shinui manifests itself in where the food is placed, or the shinui manifests itself in how the food is placed. Both shinuyim are acceptable. Okay, those are basically the harchokas of food. And just to go through the Rosh Prakim again, one table, one plate, leftover drink, leftover food, which is really the same thing, but it's put in two categories because some Rishonim feel leftover food is mutter, but we don't paskin that way. Then we have pouring wine or other drinks, sending wine to the wife is usher, and serving food to the husband is usher.
How is she getting her wine?
Just put it down, she'll take it.
So what's the difference between sending and pouring down?
Because you're not sending it to her. You pour and she takes. Here, you're sending it to her. Here, go take it. You're putting it in front of her. That you shouldn't do. Or you ask someone to take it to her. Both those are prohibited.
And she reaches over.
Right. Correct. Now, yes.
I've seen sometimes some practices for both challah and also wine, maybe when people are not anita, in which after the husband drinks it, the wife usually gets next. So are you saying for you not to have that practice?
Well, the husband drinks, and what should he do with the wife? What does he do with the wine in your case?
I thought that
the wife just takes it?
Sometimes the kids will bring it to the...
Yeah, well, the kid could take it if he doesn't send it. But he really shouldn't say, give it to mother.
So then, should he not do that in the times when she's
I don't think it's usher if he doesn't ask them to do it. But if you ask them to do it, then he's saying, send it to mother. I don't see the problem if he doesn't ask them to do it. The beds should be separated, that we do know, and the Pesachim say there shouldn't be one box spring, if that's what you call it, even though you have two mattresses. It should be two beds, two separate beds. How far away they should be, in the west side, it's not such a simple question, because some of the bedrooms, al pi halacha, most probably, as long as they're not touching. Other Paiskim say, and probably it's commendable and recommended, they say it should be an amo way, sort of like if the hand goes off the bed, it wouldn't touch the other bed. But it depends on your room. But if it touches, it's a problem. If they don't touch, probably al pi halacha is permitted, but the Paiskim do recommend there should be that distance between the bed.
A divider or something?
No, if you have that ama, you don't need the night table. No, if you have that ama. Now, the Baal doesn't sit on his wife's bed when she's a nida. However, a woman could sit on a husband's bed. They do not sit on a sofa or some sort of sitting furniture if the movement of one could be felt by the other. So if you have a cushioned sofa that when you sit down here, the other person could feel the movements of the other person, it is prohibited. Now, some say if there's someone sitting between its mutter, which is accepted halacha, meaning let's say it's a small couch and you sit on the two ends and you could still feel when you sit down the people on the two ends, but there's a person in the middle, it's mutter. And there are some who are moderate even though you have something else in between, like a pocketbook, and sometimes you're in a situation you got to sit down in such a sofa, so you put a hefsek. She doesn't make the bed in front of the husband, and she does not run the bath or the shower in front of the husband. Those are more or less the halachas of harchaka. There are some details, but surely in terms of the basic halachas, these are the basic halachas, and you get the trend what Chazal were trying to do here. Yeah.
Let's say when you're flying, when you're sitting in that situation, that's tight quarters. You have your separate seats, but you know your arms, your
you
body
listen.
Arms,
listen, my answer to you is better to it. If you can, I mean, when I'm on a plane, you know, I think I could contain myself to one seat, you know. I usually sit next to a person who can't. That's my luck. But, you know, if...
Same armrest.
Listen, you know, it really shouldn't. You know, if you can't, we'll have to speak about it. As long as you shouldn't. If it's a problem that you're coming somewhere and you have no way that you have to touch, you're talking about there'll be actual touching?
No,
it's
possible.
So
it's
well,
likely.
Listen, if it's an occasional touch because you move by accident, I'm not saying that's us, sir. If you can sit in a way that you don't touch, it's fine. Okay, let's go to Vestas. Let's go to Vestas. What?
Let's say the kitchen counter.
Yeah.
Can they both work on the same kitchen counter?
Sure. Pleasure to have you in the kitchen.
They could work in the same...
Sure. Your wife will appreciate... Yes. You could cook with her, touch the stove, prepare the chon.
It's just the table. You cannot... Can you use the...
You can't eat together at one table. You could work together at one table.
Work together.
Yeah, only eating not. Eating not. What time do you have?
Without a hacker. Can't eat at the same table without a hacker.
Right. 8:40. Oy vey. Let's go. Let's go to Vestas. Please, listen carefully. We have to finish Vestas. There are different type of Vestas. Vestas simply mean days that the halacha tells us we anticipate the woman will see Dom. And those days, the husband has to separate from his wife. Now, let's make this as clear as we can. And I hope the review or the new halachas, at least we're going to get the gist of it, that you'll know how to ask a shaila and how to conduct yourself. There's two aspects of this. Number one, it's the day, and it's the time, whether it's night or day. Those are the two things you're going to always keep in mind. Which day, and which part of the day, day or night. Now, let me tell you, day or night is not like Shabbos or other halachas, but it's from Shkia to Netz, and from Netz to Shkia. Everyone knows Netz Hacham in the morning is not the beginning of the day. When does the day begin? Alois Hashachar. But for Hilchus Nida of Vestas, Netzacham is the beginning of the day, and the end of the day is Shkia. Shkia is not the end of the day. If Shkia would be the end of the day, Mitzoy Shabbos, we jump into our cars after Shkia. The end of the day is Seisek Achavim. But in Hilchus Nida, Netz and Shkia are the determining lines, what becomes day and what becomes night. Now, there are a few days that we anticipate the woman to see, and those are the days are Yom HaVest, and she's usher to be with her husband. One is Vest HaChodesh, the day of the month. For instance, let's say a woman sees on the 13th of the Jewish month. Next month, she is usher to her husband on the 13th of the Jewish month. Now, how many times did she see on the 13th of the Jewish month? If she saw three times, for instance, Cheshvan, and then she saw Kislev, and then she saw Tevis, when it comes Shvat, she has what we call a Ves Kavua, an established Ves, and she is ushered to her husband on the 13th day of the month. if she saw only one time on the 13th day of the month, so then she's still usher on the next month, the 13th day of the month. There's big differences. That's called a vest she'ena kavua. One is called an established pattern, and one is called a non-established pattern, and we'll explain it. But realize that's called vest hachaydish, the day of the month. Now, how long must you separate when you have a vest hachaydish? So if in the previous month you saw on the 13th, during the day, you have to separate on the 13th during the day. The night before is what's called the famous Oy Zoruah's vest, which means the true vest is 13th during the day, because that's what you saw the previous month. However, the Oy Zoruah says you have to separate the night before. Do we conduct ourselves like the Oy Zoruah? The answer is, I don't know. Now, it sounds like I'm evading the question, but that's the truth, because there's a big tumult in the Paiskim. I once answered Shlomo Zalman and Obach, the great Paisik in Eretz Yisrael, what's the Minhag Olam in Hilchos Nida? He says, he doesn't know. These are private matters. How should he know what the Minhag Olam is? In Halacha, there are many who are machmer like the Ezerua, and many who are not. And whether you should be machmer or not is surely nothing that I could tell you at this shir. But there's many, many big paiskim who are mekel. Many, many big paiskim who are mekel. I don't want you to walk away from the shir and think that, oh, I think I'll start being machmer. You know, you may do that, but it's not necessarily the halacha. But there are many big paiskim who are machmer. That's called the Oy Zoruah's vest. Well, according to the Oy Zoruah, one second. During vestas, you don't have our chukas. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about that. I almost missed that one. During vestas, you presuppose you have our chukas. By vestas, you don't have our chukas. We'll get to it timely. So that's vest achaydish, right? What is vest haflaga? That's a pattern not tied to the day of the month, but the interval between the two riyas. For instance, let's say a woman saw every 32 days, and then the next 32 days were between the two riyas, and then 32 days between the last two riyas. Now, terminology in halacha counts the day you saw as one of the days. Now, it's really just a question of communicating, but you have to have a way of communicating, because if you tell the Rav something, and he doesn't understand what you mean, you made 32 plus the day you saw is 33, you can goof up the halacha. So we talk about the day you saw as part of the vest. So let's say a woman saw one day, then 29 days later she saw again. So that's a vest haflog of what? 30, right? Mm-hmm. She saw one day, 29 days she saw again. That will be a vest she'ena kavua, meaning an unestablished vest. But if she repeated that pattern three times, it is a vest kavua, which will be called an established vest. Now, let me just tell you, and please don't get confused. The first riyah that begins the vest haflaga, to make a vest haflaga, obviously you need four riyahs because you need an anchor. The first one could be at night or day, but you have to watch where the other three are to make a pattern. So let's say she saw the first one at night, but then 29 days later she saw during the day and she repeated that three times. She has a vest kavua to see every 29 days during the day. Does she have to separate the night before? Again, with the Oy Zoruah, yes, and without the Oy Zoruah, no. That's called vest haflaga. The other vest we have is vest, which is oyna beinus. A woman who doesn't have an established vest has to worry about the average, which is 30, that a woman will see. The average, which is 30, that a woman will see. So if a woman, let's say, saw Dom on day one, she has to count 30 days, which is really 29 days, counting the day after she saw. That's called Oyna Beinanis, which is the 30th day, and if she has no established vest kavua, she has to separate on that day. Now, if you know your months, very often vest achaydish will come out like Oyna Beinanis, depending on whether it's Mali or Chaser. That's very true. We recognize that. So it comes out, we have a vest haflaga, we have a vest achaydish, and we have what's called Oyna Beinanis. Now, I must tell you, Oyna Beinanis, according to the Chavis Das, is not the 30th day, but it's the 31st day. And Rav Moshe Feinstein supports the 31st day. Reif Paiskim support the 30th day. So, here again, you know, what do you do? Are you machmer on both? Sometimes it's theoretical because the 31st day will be Yom HaChodesh, the 30th day. You know, most of the Yom goes with the 30th day, I have to tell you. Most of the Yom goes with the 30th day. But let me tell you something also, a chumer and ayin abeinus, which is not that much of a chumer as Izeruah, it's a more mainstream chumer. Ayin abeinus, many, many paiskim say, is 24 hours. Which means to say that if a woman saw and comes the 30th day, she has to separate the whole 24 hours. So the Ayin abeinus, let's say she saw during day one during the day, 30 days later during the day, the night before won't simply be the Izeruah, because the crazy placey, and many say it's 24 hours. If you have to be machmer, that's more of a legitimate shita to be machmer, and it's more widespread than Izeruah. If a person doesn't be machmer, you have to speak with your rav, discuss it, see the situation. But I just have to tell you the halacha. That's taflaga, that's tachaydish, ayna beinis. Now, if a woman has a ves kavua, she only worries about the ves kavua. A woman has a ves kavua, let's say she sees the 13th of the month, or she sees every 27 days, she doesn't have to worry about the day of the month, she doesn't have to worry about ayna beinis, because she has a ves kavua. When do you have to worry about all these things? When you have no established pattern. No established pattern, you have to cover all bases. Now, let me just throw in another vest or two quickly. There's something known as vest hadilug, and don't think I haven't seen them. People ask shilas. Today, women mostly don't have established patterns. But you read the Paiskim from years ago, they testify women generally had patterns. Things changed. I can't say medically, maybe you can explain it, but this is a fact. Going from the Paiskim, they say, I see most women have patterns. Today, women generally do not have patterns. Someone comes in to me and says, I saw on the 15th, I do it this way, I saw 28 days apart, I saw 29 days apart, I saw 30 days apart, I saw 31 days apart. That's known as Vest Hadilug. What do you have to worry about next time? 32 days apart. Because the Vest has been established as Vest Hadilug. Now, Vest HaDilug gets complicated, and it's considered a Vest Kavua, and we don't worry about it unless she repeats it three times. When she does it one time, we don't worry about it. In other words, if a lady sees 28 days apart, then 29 days apart, she doesn't worry about 30, until she sees another time, and then she established a Vest HaDilug. But I'll tell you, simple mathematics over the course of a lifetime would probably have a woman, or some women have a Vest HaDilug, because if a woman, let's say, would see, let's say, on an average from 29 to 31, it could work out. Now, you could have a Vest HaDilug the other way around, possibly, if she saw 32, 31, 30. So it gets pretty complex. The advice I give you is the Chochmas Adam's advice. Chochmas Adam said he and his wife had a calendar, and they marked out everything, and they had a global view, and he says, Baruch Hashem, he never fell through and did something wrong. So you got to have your calendar, and you got to look through everything, because if you think if you have it in your mind, you're going to have a big problem. Yeah.
Even though logically it's impossible for that to continue indefinitely.
Because she'll have no vest. That right? Very good. That's some of the Paiskin's arguments. Very good. Very good. That's why I say you got to ask a Shaila. A reversed vest. Yeah.
When you have three times in a row.
Right.
Or say five times in a row. Will that next time, if it's off, totally go back to square number one?
No, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that. Okay. So everyone appreciates there's known as a vest kavua and a vest she'ena kavua. A vest kavua, you only concern yourself with the vest. A vest she'ena kavua, you concern yourself with all these different possibilities. When does the vest begin? By the beginning of the Riya. If a woman sees Dom for 4 days, the beginning of the seeing of the dam, that's the beginning of the vest. If a woman has a kesem, a stain, doesn't make a vest. A woman has a stain, there's no vest. Forget about it. It doesn't affect the vest. If a woman has dam, blood, on an aid badik, on a checking cloth, that also doesn't create a pattern. But if she has it three times in the same pattern, you got to ask a shayla. But ksumim do not form vestis, and an aid badika generally doesn't. The only thing that forms a vest is an actual seeing of Dom. When a vest passes, let's say a woman sees every 36 days, and then one time she didn't see the 36th day, that Yom HaVest she was offered to her husband, but in the 37th day she's mutter. Now, it's just practical advice, and the Paiskim say she really doesn't have to be baidik herself before she's with the husband. But if she has a feeling, a sensation that she may see, then it's really wise and mandated that she should be baidik herself before she is with her husband. Now, let's talk about the differences between vest kavua and vest sheina kavua. A vest kavua, you only worry yourself about a vest kavua. You don't worry about anything else. If she sees every 13th of the month, you don't worry about intervals. You don't worry about the 30th day. If you have a vest sheina kavua, meaning, let's say she saw on the 13th of the month, next month she has to worry about the 13th of the month. She also has to worry about her previous interval, and she also has to worry about Aina Beinis, the 30th day as we described. A bedika on a vest sheina kavua is recommended, and I would say one bedika is enough, even though some make two. On a vest kavua, it's appropriate to make two bedikas on a vest kavua, but if it's a difficulty, ask a shayla, you probably can get away with one. But an Aina Beinis has a din like a vest kavua. Do we get that? A vest sheina kavua, bemis no bedikas, make one. If you forget it, and the day passes, forget about it. A vest kavua recommended two bedikas. If the day passes without a bedika, you have to be baidik before she is muteris to her husband. Oina beininis has a halacha like a vest kavua. If a woman passes the 30th day, she didn't make a bedika, she won't be tameh, but she's not muteris to her husband until she makes a bedika. But if you ever have a shayla with a bedika, you got to ask a shayla. It sounds somewhat humorous, but there's one pasuk who holds that on Yom HaVest of Oina Beinanis, which has a din of Vest Kavua, a woman has to have a Moich Dochak a whole time. It's very burdensome. And they say it, I don't know if I remember correctly, the pasuk who held that way wasn't able to hold on to his wife. It was very difficult. It was very difficult. The Chavos Das is Shita. But in Halacha, we do not do that. We're not machmer like that. One bedika, two maybe. If there's a problem, a shayla has to be asked. The bedika by Vest sheina kavua, I like to tell people one. It's a Vest sheina kavua towards the end of the day. By a vest kavua or by Oina Beinanis, if it's during the day, the vest, do one upon rising, one before the night. If it's a night Aina, then what I say, you should do one after Shkia and one when she wakes up in the morning. That's the appropriate way to do it. Some do three bedikas, you know, but we don't want to overdo it. Now, if a woman, let's say, has a vest kavua, she always sees 36 days apart, and then she saw 21 days apart, right? She wasn't oiker her vest kavua. A vest kavua can only be uprooted if she changed her pattern three times, right? But even though she wasn't oiker her vest kavua, but she has to be machmer and conduct herself with the vest kavua together with the vest she'ena kavua. She has to worry about both. So let's say a woman always saw, an example, 36 days apart. Then this time she saw 40 days apart. So what does she have to do next time? She has to worry about 36 days after her last ria, because that's her vest kavua. If she passes out, she has to worry for 40, because that was a deviation from her vest kavua. She has to worry for Yom HaChodesh, because since she went away from her vest kavua, maybe she adopted this vest she'ena kavua. If a woman has a vest she'ena kavua, one time is enough to prove that vest incorrect. So if she sees on the 12th, and next time she passes the 12th, she doesn't have to worry about the 12th anymore. If she sees 25 days apart, and then she passed 25 days apart, that's lost to history, the 25 days apart. What time do we have? Now, let me just tell you a few shilas. We have to wrap it up here. When she breaks the cycle, does she have to worry about the Beinoni? When she breaks the cycle, she doesn't have to worry about the Beinoni. You know why? Because our question is, if I'm not mistaken, our question is, did she go away from her old vest by making a new one, or she still has her old one. By a vest she ain't a kavua, she doesn't have anything to fall back, so we say maybe the Aina Beinus will be the vest kavua. But since she still has her vest kavua, I don't think she has to worry about the Aina Beinus. I don't think so. Even though technically I don't remember 100%, but I don't think so. Now, there is a big shaila, and most of the Olam is Meikel, but again, it doesn't seem to be the opinion of many Paiskim. Let's say a woman sees 28 days apart, right? And next time she sees 26 days apart, did she uproot 28 days? Let's talk about a Beth Shein and Kavua that's more popular. A woman sees 28 days apart, and next time she sees 26 days apart. You could argue she didn't uproot 28 because she didn't pass it. Or you could say, no, since she saw it in a smaller interval, that's enough to be considered uprooting. That's called a Ria Katsara is an Iker, a Ria Ruchi. You got the case. Mm-hmm. Many are Mekel. Many are Mekel. Many are Machmer. How you should be Naig. But my feeling is most of the islands make. And I'll tell you why. It gets very tedious. That's not the reason to be Mekel, but that's the reason maybe because we look into these Paiskim. And I'll tell you, it gets kind of difficult to keep track. But that's the Shaila. There's a Ria Arucha, is an Oiker, a Afloga, is Afloga Kitsara, Oiker, Afloga Arucha. Now, there's one other halacha. I tell you, if you have a shaila, ask your rav. But I have to tell you, because it's really a halacha I don't think many people know. I can tell you another halacha that I don't think many people know, but I have to finish by 9. If a woman sees on the 15th of the month, and next month she sees on the 14th and the 15th, many, if not most, would hold that she wasn't oiker the 15th of the month. Why? Because she didn't establish that she doesn't see on the 15th of the month. If she has a flog of 28 and then she saw 27 and went into 28th, the new afloga contradicts the old afloga. That's fine. But if you're talking about the chodesh and she saw on the 17th and next month she saw on the 16th but she's still seeing on the 17th, many would hold you're not oiker the 17th, because the 17th has to go away without seeing Dom, and since you saw Dom, you can't say that day is clean from Dom. But you're welcome to ask a Shaila. I'm just telling you that halacha. Now, what's the halacha of Yom HaVeset? I better get to that quickly, even though I want to speak about pregnant women for a moment. Let me speak about pregnant women for a moment. A woman who's pregnant is a Musalekis Domin. She does not see Dom. She doesn't have to worry about Yom HaVeset. But when are you pregnant? In halacha it says after 3 months, when it's hooker or uber. Some people make a mistake and think, because you don't know you're pregnant till 3 months, so that's why we say 3 months. But today you could tell you're pregnant before, so therefore the minute she takes a pregnancy test, she doesn't have to worry about Yom HaVeset. That's not true. That's not true. The reason why the Chazal said 3 months is even if we know she's pregnant, but they felt 3 months she's more of a Musalekis Damim, she is more in a situation that she won't see Dom, and you don't have to worry about the vest. Ramosha is chayling on that. Ramosha also is manazeh, as soon as she has a pregnancy test, she doesn't have to worry about the vest. Most Paiskim say that she has to worry about the vest until 3 months into pregnancy. That is one important machlaik.
But if she's pregnant, she has a little bleeding?
That's something else. Then you got to ask a shy. I'm not talking about it. 3 months. 3 full months. In other words, 90 days passed. 90 days passed. If you see during pregnancy, Dom, you have to ask a shayla. It's not such a simple thing. Now, what's the halacha? I'm speaking about this Yom HaVeset already. What is it? What do you have to do or what can't you do? Obviously, it's usher to be with the wife. Relations are usher on Yom HaVeset. Harchakas you don't have to keep. You could pass things, eat at one table. You could do all the things that you cannot do during your main nidasa. Yeah.
Do you have to separate the bed yet?
No, you really don't have to. It says you can't sleep in one bed, even clothed, but you don't have to separate the bed. In other words, you can't be in one bed, even with clothes on, during Yom HaVeset, it says, but you don't have to separate them. They could touch. They could touch, because that's considered archaka. But being in one bed, even without it, you know, with clothes, that is usher. Now, we say it's usher to have relations. Archaka is our mutter. What about chibuk and nishuk, touching with affection? Al pi din, many say it's mutter. Many poskim say it's asur. The ikur din in his mutter, but the poskim advise that you shouldn't do it. What does that mean? You got to use your judgment. You know, if you have to hold a hand and you feel that's very important, it's really not asur, because the true isur of poskim is only to have relations. Chibuk v'nishuk is not asur. But the poskim say it's not wise. It's not wise. Since it's not wise, don't do it. But if you know it's not asur min adin, then you got to use the best judgment you have. Yeah. What? During the Eizeruah, I don't think anyone's machbid on Chibuk v'nishuk. During the Eizeruah thing, I don't think anyone's machbid on Chibuk v'nishuk. No, when I say separate, if there are two beds, they could be touching. That's what I'm saying. If there are two beds, they could be touching. But you don't have to actually separate them, but you shouldn't be in one bed. No, it's two beds, they could be touching, because that's a harchaka. But in one bed, they say that. Okay. Okay, I hope the Eilam got it and understood it.